The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Show me that loving. Show me that smile. Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Whether we need, we know when
the best is ready to begin.
As long as we got each other, we are the world.
Beyond! What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 225. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the PlayStation powerhouse, Ryan Clements.
What if we were? How did you know we were recording?
I know you. I know your tricks. I know your tricks of the trade. We had some good harmony. Yeah. It was me and he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Beyond.
Now, Ryan, did you even know that song?
No.
Oh, I didn't think
so. I wasn't really paying attention because I was looking at your levels.
Yeah, and they all came out well, I bet.
I hope so, because you hadn't let me go back and check it yet. You just started
the show. Rain or shine.
I don't even know.
All the time, we got each other.
This is a PlayStation podcast, ladies and gentlemen. PlayStation podcast.
That's the theme song of the 80s and early 90s sitcom called Growing Pains, starring Alan Thicke.
What amazes me, Colin, yes, is that, if I may be so brash, is that you know all this shit, and you were five when this shit was happening, and I don't know how you remember it, because I have so few memories from when I was a child.
Are you the oldest in your family? Like, the oldest child?
Well, I was an only child, and both my parents are now remarried, and now I have five step and half siblings.
Okay. Well, I just asked because...
Were you experiencing it through siblings?
Yeah, I'm the youngest. I mean, my sisters are 5 and 10 years older than me, and my brother is 12 years older than me.
Right, so right.
A lot of this stuff was... That's why I'm into old school games, too. Right. That's just one of those things. But that's a great... That's, of course, also the sitcom that Leonardo DiCaprio got his start in.
There you go. Well.
And Chrissy Seaver got her start on it, and she is now in The Last of Us.
Indeed,
so we've all brought it back to PlayStation.
I just think it's fascinating that you. I just think it's fascinating that you have these memories, and I remember nothing. I could barely remember yesterday.
There's also a character named Boner on the show.
Yeah, Boner was the best friend of the older son, Mike.
And the parents just called him Boner to his face. And
we've talked about this
on the show.
Quince, I can't hear myself, by the way, in my headphones.
I can't either, but it's picking you up.
Okay.
But of course, I don't know for sure because Greg wouldn't let me test it.
Go ahead and test it.
No, it's fine.
Okay. It's just fun. You're
I don't care.
You're right about Boner, by the way, because, you know, he would walk in, like, into the kitchen. They would all be, hey, Boner, what's up? It's like, dude, this is like a 16-year-old kid. Walking in, it's your son's name. Like, all of his stupid friends call him Boner, and his parents are just calling him Boner.
What was the story behind it? Because I remember the origin episode where they explained how he got the name Boner.
I don't know, but I wish it was
We're a little too old for that. That's a little too young, I should say, for that. Here's the main question of the day. Did I just get my Twitter hacked? I don't think so.
What?
Have you used the mobile app today?
No.
I clicked on a link in the mobile app, and it took me to the Twitter web app, where it said log in,
dear.
And I logged in.
Oh,
but then I did it on another one.
Dear.
I had clicked on another link earlier in my profile, and it took me to the same thing.
You may want to change your password just to be safe.
All right, I'll do that right now.
Do it. So, you know, Colin and I can talk
about... Yeah, talk about some PlayStation stuff.
Let's talk about PlayStation stuff.
I don't really want to.
Well, this is Podcast Beyond, and I think are we going to start with what once was, what is now, and forever will be the Roper Report?
Sure. Of course.
Time for some news.
It's been a long time since I was on the other side of that.
So, Colin, have you assembled a list of news for us from the PlayStation World today?
There are 8 items on the list this week.
I would like you to read them. And remember, this is a news provided by Colin Moriarty. His opinions
the
do not
spin
necessarily.
Zone.
I don't really spin those. Things as much as spin, I used to. I'm not really in a spin zone right now.
Hey, number 4. Well, here's a load of horse shit.
Yeah, this is some garbage, some street trash.
Some street trash.
Hot trash.
All right, go ahead.
Number 1, Sony isn't in good financial shape. Mm. The company posted a loss of over $2 billion during its third financial quarter, ranging from October through December. Sony's Consumer Products and Services division, which houses the PlayStation brand, accounted for half of the loss.
No, you.
Strangely, PS3 sales are actually up 13%.
I mean, is there much to say besides it sucks? Not good news sucks for them?
They haven't made money in years. So, yeah. I mean, it's not.
But it usually wasn't the PlayStation thing bringing it down, right? I thought it was always that Sony lost money and that it wasn't really PlayStation's fault.
So, I'm no expert on Sony's internal workings as a business,
really?
Of course.
Yeah, act like you are.
I know business. What were your famous quote about knowing business?
but the consumer products and services division obviously is all of their consumer products. So, someone tweeted at me that they severed a tie with Samsung or something and their TVs are like going off the cliff, and that's. And
good.
That's most of the money that was lost, but I don't know if that's true.
Do you think it's that 3D sucks and nobody wants it, and now we finally know 3D sucks, and maybe Sony will stop doing that?
It's just weird because Sony was like the epitome of amazing TVs not even 10 years ago. I mean, everyone wanted a Sony TV.
Well, then they just took a chance on 3D here. Yeah. And hopefully, I'd imagine what it is, right? I imagine what it would be is that, you
what's
know.
What's that?
I imagine. It kind of sounds like I doubt it. I imagine is that, you know, you already have a nice flat-screen TV. You're not in a rush to run out and buy 3D TVs. So they're making all these fancy TVs that nobody wants.
I have a television set from the Korean company LG, and I quite like it.
Really? Yeah. Except remember when it was broken that time?
Yeah, but then it did break maybe 6 or 8 months after I got it. But I bought it at Costco, so Costco paid for LG to come to my house and fix it. They basically just replaced the entire TV.
Nice.
It's the same TV. It was fascinating. I sat on my bed while the guy was fixing it. He just took a screw gun out like he's done it a million times, just to replace the entire panel. So basically the only thing that's the same is like the plastic casing. I'm like, why didn't you just give me a new TV? It couldn't have possibly been cheaper to just have this panel sent from South Korea. But maybe it was.
Where does Vizio manufacture out of?
Are I don't know. American? I assume. No, I doubt it.
Nebraska.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. They probably manufacture where every other electronic device is manufactured.
Japan?
China?
China.
Hong Kong?
China.
Ni hao.
Taiwan?
Okay.
China.
So, PlayStation podcast. Let's continue.
Although I do believe the Chinese lay claim to Taiwan, don't they?
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's what happened there.
I like this episode. This is a good episode so far.
Mr. Moriarty.
It's an afternoon.
Well, I had a fucking amazing day so far, even though I'm mildly hungover.
Lay it on us.
Well, the big news is that one of my contacts in Korea somehow was able to procure signed posters of every member of Girls' Generation, my favorite Korean pop musical act.
I like you have contacts in Korea.
I have contacts in Korea. And this contact / friend notified me, and he's like, you know, I could totally send you one of these. And I at first had to like politely say that's too great of a gift, but here's my mailing address in case you decide. Nice. So that was just and then I don't know, it's just been a very good day.
Nice.
Thank you. That's for dinner tonight.
I know you're going to a fancy dinner with Colin Moriarty. He's not dressed nice.
No, I'm probably not going to go actually because I don't feel well.
God damn it.
Yeah, you sure you don't want to just come for food and then leave?
Yeah, I don't really want to go and be like all sick and stuffy and stuff. As long as one of us is there and can parlay the information and then get the information back to us, Ryan.
Yeah.
Then we'll.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that some more.
You want to talk about that?
No, not at all. So you guys still don't trust me.
Well, that's a great inside joke that you just wasted everybody's time telling.
You're more than welcome to explain it if you want.
Ryan's going to dinner tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a developer.
Yeah, I don't know if we can say.
We'll leave it off the table. He's going to dinner with a developer, some PR people, to talk about the game and just say hello and do this. Colin and I aren't able to join him. Colin's sick. I already have a prior engagement. This same thing happened a few months ago, maybe 6-12 months ago.
Right.
Where same thing, where we couldn't go, so Ryan went on his own. And so Ryan came back, and we all were like, oh, cool. And like, oh, yeah, what did you guys talk about? What did you find out about the game? And Ryan stopped, and he went, you know, I don't remember.
Like, what? I got that impression. Now, I would like to point out, I remember most of the night, we it was really just like us hanging out and talking. And yes, it was my bad. I could have probably drilled them more about their upcoming projects. But we just had a really good time talking and shooting the shit, as they say.
Yeah, but I mean.
I feel, by the way, that they really like us, and it was a really good networking thing. So.
Yeah.
No,
of course.
And we're just busting your balls.
But it's true. I kind of did.
We all went out with someone from Sony over the weekend. We didn't ask for any exclusives. We just ate tacos.
Yeah,
we had a great time.
Yeah, it was fun.
He may or may not have won the tester once.
Yeah, he may or may not have won Tester season one.
We're not gonna, we don't know though. Those the facts. It's hard to find.
Right.
His name was Will Pete. I mean, that's too obvious. It's too obvious. We'll call him W Powers.
Yeah, I think his last name has something to do with power.
Yeah.
But no, we're busting your balls, of course. It's just that when we go out to lunch or dinner or see, you know, kind of off the record, off the cuff with developers, they usually do tell us a lot of fun shit. And so we just want like to bust Clemens' balls.
And tonight I definitely love to ask them. The thing is that these are guys I've actually never spoken to before. And the previous meeting, I had built a pretty good relationship already with some of those gentlemen. And
so it'll be cool. Know more about what happened.
I just had an interesting meeting myself. And I remember too much of it. Okay. But I just had a long sit-down interview, a very long interview with one David Jaffe.
It was great. I watched it. It was awesome.
It was fantastic. You can watch it on Start, the new IGN show.
YouTube.com. That interview was
many.
Start.
It was many things. It was informative. It was incredibly awkward. It was laden with swears and curses.
It got raunchy there for quite a while.
It got somewhat raunchy. Greg may or may not have called... Or David Jaffe may or may not have called Greg fat.
Oh my god! Really?
We had a long discussion. It was
awesome.
But anyways, long standing Beyond listeners know there's quite a beef between Podcast Beyond and David Jaffe because he won't say Beyond, and it did come up in the interview. So I urge you all to check out Start, YouTube.com/Start on Monday at noon when Up at Noon goes live, along with the extended interview that'll go live similar to that. And while I'm at it, actually, I don't want to hijack this thing because we're having this thing, but I don't want to hijack.
I just think we're having this thing. What the fuck does that mean?
This is why I need to do Beyond before I film Start shows because I'm wiped.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty wiped in this room.
Anyways, yeah, we're filming in the afternoon after everything. By the way, thanks to every one of you guys who came out and supported Start and watched that show when it went live on Tuesday this past week when Up at Noon went live. It was awesome, and the numbers blew me away, and I hope you come back every week and help us out because we'll definitely need to grow that and spread it around. Colin has written on the paper, Greg is a pervert.
I don't know why.
No, it's true. I mean, it's true. Anyways, the David Jaffe thing's awesome.
Because we're doing this thing.
Greg and I had an interesting text conversation, by the way, last night, which was...
I have it. You want me to read it? Yeah. You go move on to the next Roper Report story, and then we'll continue this crazy-ass podcast that means nothing anymore.
Now, EA has reported sales figures for some of its games. Battlefield 3 has now sold over 10 million copies. FIFA 12 has also sold over 10 million copies, which is outrageous. While Madden 12 has sold 5 million copies.
Mm. Football is more important than American football. That's what that.
What football are you talking about?
Talking about a European football, real football.
Soccer.
Yeah, football.
Okay. All right, so let's go on a text message journey with Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty. Remember, me and Colin live together. There's a wall that separates our bedrooms.
You got a text message.
On January 31st at 10:58, I texted Colin, can you turn your TV down a tad? Colin responded, no. The next night, I came home. So at February 1st, 10:54, I sent Colin a message. And this is right after Colin had a coughing fit in his room because he's been sick. I said, can you please not cough so loud? Colin responds back, can you please choke on a dick? I respond back with a shirtless photo of my friend from college. Colin asks why. I respond back with a photo that I snapped of some girl running from my high school alumni magazine. Colin responds, I'm watching Sherlock. Cease. I respond back with a photo of Clements playing a move game. I say, solve this mystery, Watson. Colin responds back, that's virtually unsolvable. We all go to bed.
Oh my god, that's awesome. That is amazing.
All right. We're in rare form today.
This is great.
By the way, if I might just also add,
yeah,
video review and written review for Kingdoms of Amalur.
Rex.
It's
save
it's,
the Rex Center.
It's ready to go.
Can't wait. Rex Center. Reckoning. Tomorrow. Rex. Live stream. Kingdoms of Amalur. If you're
Rex
one of
Center.
The people who's listening to this at
Kingdoms of Amalur Rex.
You're getting this hot off the internet the night it goes live, Thursday, the 2nd of February.
What the fuck?
Shuhei
Yoshida listens to this show.
I'm sorry, Shuhei. That was a bad.
Here's the train wreck.
The
start happening.
Show's good though. You should watch that. That's where
Thursday,
all my energy
Thursday, February 2nd. We are recording on.
Yeah. So if you want tomorrow, Friday, February 3rd, from 11 to 1, there's a live stream of Reckoning, followed by Colin's review posting on IGN.com. Mm-hmm. Then from 1 to 3, David Jaffe's back in the office. Me and Clements are playing Twisted Metal with him for the rest of the show.
So pumped.
It will be excellent.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
News. Mr. Jaffe.
Love new celebrity.
Do something about Twisted Metal or Sweet Tooth.
The multiplayer is the focus of this twisted metal.
We should do video reviews with just Snape's voice. It'd be awesome.
Every car has its own special abilities.
Oh my god, why do people listen to this show?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Number three, THQ has reported massive layoffs, filing with the SEC that it will lay off 240 employees and force its CEO to take a 50% pay cut. Its stock price hovering at around 70 cents is enough to get delisted from NASDAQ. It has until July 23rd to get its shares above $1 for 10 consecutive days or it will be delisted. Severance payments to laid off employees will come to about $8 million. And then more recently, because they had a conference call today, it said that they reported a $100 million loss for UDraw. On the HG Twins.
That was a great headline on IGN, THQ's $100 million mistake.
Props to Andrew Goldfrapp for that. And then they also announced the games that they kind of have in the works. Most recently, they'll have Darksiders 2, Metro 2034, it was pushed into 2013. And then by the end of, I guess, fiscal 2014, they'll have two unnamed titles out, Warhammer Online, Insane, and most importantly, Homefront 2. So,
sure, WWE whatever is one of them.
Yeah, I just saw that in the story. So.
Yeah, I hear you.
Should we keep going?
Yeah. No, let's just end the show here.
Okay.
All right.
Follow us on Twitter.
See you guys. Number four, Kaz Hirai has officially been named president and CEO of Sony, effective April 1st. The rumors of this began circulating in January, but now the announcement makes things official. Howard Stringer will take Hirai's previous role as chairman of the board. Hirai has been with Sony since 1984 and was integral in the development of the PlayStation brand. So that's pretty cool.
Who's taking Stringer's job?
I don't know.
Do you think we're in the running?
Probably Ryan Clements.
What if they just hired all three of us to run that one job?
That'd be awesome. That'd be
crazy.
I'd just be like, yo, bros, what are we doing about this $2 billion loss?
Just chilling.
Yo, bros, we need to stop eating chips and get off our asses.
Stop eating checks, too.
Checks and checks mix. Checks
you're
mix.
Not depositing the checks.
I know. That was the problem. You've been eating all of the checks we've been getting? No wonder we're losing money.
Animal from the Muppets is one of the guys.
Checks mix and chips at the same time. It didn't work.
You're supposed to deposit the checks, not eat them.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. I didn't know.
Oh, shit. You're supposed to... Mike Mitchell. Oh, shit. I got no checks. God bless him.
Oh, my God. This podcast is amazing so far. How
if you ever just wanted to hang out with us, this is how it goes.
This is pretty much it.
Podcast Beyond episode 225.
Keep it rolling.
God bless Mike Mitchell, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I love
you
Mike
know what
Mitchell.
He's been addicted to lately? Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Because of you.
Yeah, it's my fault. But he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Every day, he just goes into his bedroom and watches it with his cat.
Chloe. Named after Chloe
when
from
the
Smallville.
Series ends, it turns out that all the Cylons were angels sent down from the heavens. To stop humanity from growing too fast, too far. That's not it at all.
Spoilers.
That's not how it goes.
May angels lead you in. Hear you, me, my friend.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
You know what you were singing, by the way? You were singing before. You were singing the jam "Hero" by Nickelback. Yeah. That was
another good look for that on the start episode.
God, what the hell is going on with my life?
Everything that's good. Also, that we're not drunk at all, so that's pretty amazing.
We're just delirious.
Yeah, we're all tired. We all put in a hard day.
Number five, Sony has revealed the perks for PlayStation Plus in February, and they are ridiculous. The following games will be free at some point during the month. Far Cry 2, Simpsons Arcade Game, Altered Beast, Comic Zone, Golden Axe, Sonic 1, Sonic 2, Streets of Rage 2, Battle Fantasia, Fatal Inertia, Hamster Ball, Inferno Pool, Mahjong Tales, Ancient Wisdom, Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Powered Battle Cars. Plus the minis, Hungry Giraffe and Gold Medalist, and
Hungry
PS1
Giraffe.
Classic Final Fantasy V. But yeah, PlayStation Plus isn't worth it.
Yeah, I know. Also, two quick notes on that. And I just blanked. Oh, Battle Fantasia. I think that's a bit of an underrated game that a lot of people didn't play. It's a lot of fun from the same dudes that did Guilty Gear. Really, really pretty game. And there was one other game on there that caught my ear when you were reading off that list.
Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Power Battle
Cars. It wasn't that one.
Mahjong Tales, not that great,
I've been wanting to download Mahjong Tales for like 2 years.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Altered Beast.
Yeah, that game sucks.
Man,
you know
that's
what?
I got
100% of the trophies in that game.
Wise from your grave.
Everyone should bury Altered Beast in a grave and never fucking dig it up
remember
again.
Remember we were talking about this, how this game keeps coming back?
Yeah.
This is the one game that people keep
that
doing
was
things
with? That was
it
one of the first...
sucks.
That was one of the first games I ever downloaded on the WiiWare thing.
Jesus Christ, why?
Because my friend was like, Ultra Beast, I remember that game. That game was sick. And I was like, oh, okay, let's play it. And it was terrible.
That game, there's nothing good. I mean, we talked about that game. That game sucks to the core.
But it's amazing.
In fact, when you look at some of the, I mean, if you want, there's some good games, like Simpsons Arcade game, I hope translates well, because that game's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Far Cry 2, of course, is great. And Far Cry 2, by the way, is a retail game you're going to get for free. You know, there's some good stuff on here. And Final Fantasy V, of course.
Yeah.
Awesome. But then there's some hot trash. Altered Beast is fucking terrible. And of course Sonic 1 and Sonic 2 are incredibly overrated. Mm-hmm. So we all know
your storied history.
We have what cliche lovers might call a mixed bag.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Okay, number six.
Number six.
The director of PlayStation Network has left Sony.
Dun, dun, dun.
Susan Panico, who has been with Sony since 1994, was in charge of the PSN since 2007. Who will be replacing her is yet to be determined. Hopefully someone that can sell some games.
Colin Moriarty.
On PlayStation Network.
You didn't buy PSN? You're goddamn out of your mind. That's PSN. My Colin impression.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, thanks. There's a myriad reasons to own it.
Yeah.
Plethora.
Plethora.
Number seven, PlayStation Vita hardware and software sales in Japan are looking up slightly.
Booyah!
In the week ranging from January 23rd to January 29th, Vita sold 3,700 more units than it did the week before, for 18,942 units overall. However, it's still being outsold by Nintendo 3DS 4-1. Good news on the software front comes from Tales of Innocence R, a Vita-centric upgrade of the Nintendo DS game, which sold 54,853 units at retail, coming in third on the software charts. Note that the number doesn't count games sold digitally. So a tangible number of Vita owners actually own that game, probably to the tune of like 20% when you take into account digital sales, which is pretty insane.
Vita.
Number eight, finally, the last one. Sony has confirmed that, like in Japan, digital Vita games released elsewhere will be cheaper than their retail counterparts.
No hard numbers yet, though. That's the disappointing thing. We don't know how much.
What were you singing? Were you singing Red Wine?
He's singing a Lady Gaga song.
Oh, I thought you were singing Red Wine.
No.
That's good.
By Bill, is that who is that? Billy Ocean? No, that's not, oh, it's eight, something 40.
It's USB 40 or
USB,
something.
USB drive 40? It's UB 40, I think it is.
Whatever.
Red Wine.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Should I read the.
Well, first off, if I didn't want Red Wine and I wanted games and I went to the old mom and pop shop, where would I go to find out what was there?
Go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Correct.
You are correct.
What came out this week?
Some stuff. Final Fantasy 13 2 came out.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Clements gave that an 8.0.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 5 came out. Stephen Lambrex gave it a 7.5. And Never Dead came out. Casey Lynch, editor-in-chief, gave it a 3.0.
Oh,
man.
That's a painful one.
That's it.
Wow.
That hit you right in the chops, as they say.
Yeah.
That'll get you.
That was not a good score at all. You know what else isn't going to get a good score?
What's that?
Zach Zero, which came to the PlayStation Network this week. Sorry, it came there last week, so...
No,
I'm pretty sure Zach Zero came out like 2 weeks ago.
You should just let it ride.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some other stuff that came out on the PlayStation Network this week, including Puddle, Madden NFL 12, Kane & Lynch 2 Dog Days, Kane & Lynch Dead Men, Mini Ninjas. I remember Mini Ninjas.
Mini Ninjas is awesome. That. Got a platinum in it.
That was a fun game.
That is a good game.
A couple good demos, including a demo for Puddle, which is a physics-based puzzler, in case you haven't seen it yet.
That's right, Colin.
Yeah.
Ryan did review Final Fantasy 13-2. Sorry, I'm a little bit off. And Sam wrote into Beyond and IGN.com to ask a question about it. I'm a bit behind. I'm a little slow on my feet this episode. Sam writes in and says, I've been enjoying Final Fantasy 13-2 the last couple of days. I love the positive changes made to the game and the overall vibe. My question is for you, Ryan. Final Fantasy 13-2 received a lower score than 13. I understand your reasoning in the review, in particular your comments on story. Do you think the hype factored into the higher score for 13, even though 13-2 is an obvious improvement?
Right.
Answer to you. Have there been times when you've given a sequel a lower score, even though the gameplay better? Same.
Yeah, I mean, this is... So, I got this question so much. There are actually a bunch of people from, like, Spain that were, like, harassing me on Twitter and just continuously posting the same message over, like, 10 times
in a row. Did you
block them? Yeah, I just blocked them all. It's so easy to block. I love how easy it is to block people on Twitter.
Finish him.
I got this question a lot, and yes.
Because in the review, you say this is a better game than the original.
This is a better game. Mechanically, that's really the key. So there's a lot of factors here. When I reviewed Final Fantasy 13, I believe I gave it an 8.9, unless I'm remembering
it correctly. I think
that's right. And now we're on a different review system. It's over a year later. A lot of things have happened. Now I give Final Fantasy 13-2 an 8, and I call it a better game mechanically. And I stand by that. The gameplay is definitely a definite improvement over the original. But there's been some sacrifices along the way, including a very sort of a story that lacks focus and an ending that's completely without resolution that I was really disappointed in, and also is, yeah, it's just disappointing. And okay, in general, okay. You know, that's, I think those were enough reasons that there's a balance there.
Gotcha. Do you think hype played into the first one getting a better score, even though this one's better?
I don't know if hype is really the reason. I don't really care about hype.
Okay. All right, then. Thanks, Sam. Mm-hmm. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com. Now, I believe you were talking about the dog days of Summer Ryan. Continue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was... dog days of summer. I think I got on this list, I just got to the PlayStation Store for PSP, and there's only one thing, which is Naruto Shippuden.
Naruto!
Ultimate Ninja Impact came out, and then some themes and some videos, etc.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean?
Ultimate Ninja Impact?
What is the impact of the Ultimate Ninja?
The impact is...
What the hell is going on? I'm so tired.
Well, I was gonna go real vulgar with that one, but I decided against it.
Instead, let's move to topic of the week. Topic of the week is last week's conversation about used games. We talked about used games. I don't remember what the hell we said, but I think we all came down to the thing that we like used games and everybody should buy them. Is that what we said?
I think so, yeah.
But anyways, a lot of people didn't agree with whatever it was we said. No, well, not that they didn't agree. A lot of people had opinions on it, so we're going to talk about that some more.
Sure.
Because I don't remember what we said last week, but I know it came up. In general, I think, you know, Clements and I were like, don't save $5, buy the real game, support developers, get their money so that they can make better games, so they can make more games, blah, blah.
Right.
And we talked about entitlement, of course, because it's a Kyle Moriarty joint, how people think they're entitled to.
Well, it's an endemic problem in society in general.
Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, with games.
Like I said, plenty of reactions here. A lot of really big ones. Really big. The people know we like the short, pithy emails because we get to get you in the show, get you out of the show. People wrote books. We're going to skim through them.
Okay.
First off, we'll start with Havoc. Havoc says, I know you guys are against used game sales, and your arguments against it make sense. I prefer to buy new games as well, but if I'm uncertain on whether or not I will like a game, I buy it used because I can return it. Not so I can save $5. If I could do that with a new game, I would never buy used. I'm not saying I should be able to keep a game for a week, beat it, and return it, but a 24 to 48 hour return policy would be great. I think it would also cut down on trash products. I think games wouldn't release so broken if there was a threat of having your game returned if it didn't perform well. What do you guys think?
Oh, well, here's a fact. A little known fact, maybe for some of the audience, EB and Babbage's, etc., had a 7-day return policy for new games back in the day, because I returned PlayStation games that I didn't, you know, PS1 games and SNES games that I didn't like,
right.
Or that, you know, weren't good, and that was not a problem at all. So I feel you. I think I did that with like Street Fighter versus X-Men or something like that, like some game I bought. I was like, why the fuck did I buy this? Yeah, no, I hear. I don't, you know, I don't want people to get the impression that we're against used game sales in general, because I'm not. I mean, I think that if a game is out of print, or which are many games, or if a game is old and from a different generation, which are everything else basically, then obviously the only recourse is to buy those games used, and obviously the publishers don't want to make any more money because they're not printing them anymore. And I'm not entirely, you know, if you want to buy used games, that's totally cool. I guess the point I'm trying to make in general. Is just think about the impact that it's having on the industry. That's all.
I think one of the things that our argument's been twisted about, or even maybe it's just the way we presented it, if we didn't present it correctly, or my thoughts on the matter is, I've never argued that used games should be banned, or this, you know, there should never be a used game. You shouldn't be allowed to trade in your games. What we've been saying is that people get so bent out of shape about the online pass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is
you're totally allowed to buy the used game, but the developer, the publisher, are allowed to put an online pass on it. You know what I mean? Like, then we get in this argument that that's where this entitlement thing comes up, right? Is that the people who are buying used demand the same experience as the new game, even though they're not paying as much money. And that's where we start getting into this area where people get ruffled.
It's utter absurdity, of course. Because basically what you're saying is, oh, no, dude, like, I'm just going to buy the used game. I want to play Resistance 3 online. I'm just going to buy it used, and then I'm just going to play it online. Insomniac and Sony can shoulder all the costs of the server load without me ever having to pay them anything, because all my money went to GameStop. So no big deal, bro. Just going to do that. Who cares? No big deal.
See, I can see why people get mad at Colin when he talks like that.
No, it's no big deal.
Chris writes in. He says, I understand. Oh, well, I mean, we're continuing the topic, so I'm sure we'll get back to it. Chris writes in, I understand where the developer considers themselves losing money to used games, but they better be prepared to watch their new game sales deteriorate rapidly as time progresses with this potential new plan. My reasoning, most gamers, especially in this garbage economy, will not be able to afford or continue to purchase games for $60, especially since a lot of them are kids living with their folks. Mom and dad will not continue to purchase games at these prices. And then gamers like myself, 35 years old, whom have gamed their whole life will be fixed and limited budget, continue to buy new games, blah, 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 blah. They don't have an opportunity for the players to lose their dead stock of games. They will not be able to continue buying new games. I buy about 20 games a year, mostly by selling my old games through cheapassgamer.com. And I can tell you that I will not be buying games at $6. Hopefully developers have a middle ground on this theory by coming up with new pricing structure automatically including DLC.
All right, so I'm gonna.
This I lost you about halfway through that, but I think I sort of got it.
Here's Clements. I don't know if you agree with this, but here's the interesting thing to me about this. This guy's 35 years old, so he's been playing games for a long time.
Right.
So certainly he remembers a time when games were more expensive than this, which was not that long ago. Now I'm gonna hit you with some real facts because a lot of people don't understand.
Oh shit, son.
Because a lot of people don't understand
is this
monetary.
Real talk?
This is real talk. Because a lot of people don't understand.
It's the fact siren. Get in there, bro. The fact.
The fact siren.
There's a few facts that people need to be hit with, and I understand if younger gamers don't realize this, but older gamers should certainly realize it. Games are cheaper relative to the amount of like the value of a dollar than they've been since the Atari 2600 days. Fact. So anyone complaining,
do you
want
to explain the fact, like how you came to that conclusion?
Sure.
For people.
Sure. There's a thing called inflation, and your dollar is not worth as much as it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Of course, you know, the famous conclusion that they even drew like 10 years ago was that a dollar was worth 4 cents, or a dollar in 1913 is now worth 4 cents. And this was in like 2000, 2001. So obviously the value of the dollar has plummeted. You know, well, you always see like, oh, I bought a cheeseburger in the 50s for 15 cents, whatever. Like, obviously you can't do that anymore. And there's a reason for that because it's based on the value of the dollar. Now, people are complaining that a game is $60 and is thus more expensive than they were in the PS2 or PlayStation era when most games were $50. Except for that's absurd and doesn't make any sense because the value of $50 in 2000 is actually more expensive than the value of $60 today. And if I have to go back to the cartridge era when cartridges obviously had high manufacturing costs and there was a wide array of prices based on the size of the chip in the cartridge,
right.
Hence RPGs were always the most expensive on the NES, SNES, Genesis, and N64.
Right.
Then games were even more expensive. In 1995, Phantasy Star 4 was $100. Final Fantasy 3, when it came to SNES in 1994, was $80. Chrono Trigger was $70. You could, games were expensive, and they were expensive then, and they were expensive in 1994 money.
Yeah.
You know,
so they would be even more expensive now.
Exactly. People and rightfully so, are like, you know, NES games were $40, $50. Some were $60. You know, Dragon Warrior 4, for instance, was really expensive because I had to use a chip in it and a battery. So obviously that raised the cost of it. But that's in 1989 money, 1990 money. If you're taking those dollars now, Phantasy Star 4, for instance, at $100 is worth really closer to $150 today, maybe probably around $130. So let's not complain about the cost of games today because games are actually cheaper than they've ever been. And that's just a fact. You know, you'd have to really go back to the Atari 2600 days when there really were budget $20 and $30 games in 1982 money that could probably be comparable to how much games are today. And that's just a fact. If you don't know that, you don't know that. But, you know, complaining about the cost of games and how they're too expensive today is insane because it's just not true. It's just false.
Sam G writes in. He wrote a Bible here, but I'm going to boil it down. He's very nice in some of these paragraphs, but I'm just
in some of them.
So let me get this straight. As a consumer, I shouldn't object to the notion that I have to buy every game I play brand new. Rather, I should just shut up and get used to it. After all, I'm just the consumer. Who the heck am I to expect to be catered to? Seems to me that the flaw in his stance, I think he's talking about Colin, is the consumer's unjustified sense of entitlement. In that it goes both ways. Sure, I'm not entitled to play every game I want, but publishers aren't entitled to have a gaming community that buys games unconditionally. There seems to be a misconception that every game a consumer rents, borrows, or buys used is a game they would go out and pay $60 for. In reality, if you remove low-budget alternatives, you'll see contraction within the hobby. In removing alternatives, publishers would be committing mistake number one of any business. Don't pit yourself against the consumer. The notion that Steam is the wave of the future is kind of lacking. The main attraction to Steam is that you pretty much never have to pay full retail for anything you purchase from them. They succeeded because they are cheap. I know Colin is motivated by sympathy for the publishers that are closing their doors due to weak sales. That's a fair sentiment. On the other hand, my wallet's cracked about as wide as it's going to get. All of these strategies to eliminate rent, borrowed, used games amount to one goal, to get some consumer out there to ramp up their gaming budget. That's the real question here. Who do you think is going to cough up these extra profits? The hardcore enthusiasts living in tiny apartment with a giant TV, or is it the parents out there that bought their kids the console for Christmas? Thanks, Steve G.
It's a fair point, although I would say that I don't feel too bad for publishers. I feel bad for the developers because the conduit by which mid-tier developers exist is shrinking. I mean, that's just the way it is. And
Here's the thing. I mean, the world you just proposed, Steve G, where, less people are buying games, so publishers have to make decisions, doesn't sound all that bad. If we could eliminate some of the Wii shovelware, or any of the shovelware on any system, any of the minigames, any of the shitty kids games, as THQ just fucking learned, doesn't sound like it's a bad business model. You know what I mean? Like, the market doesn't need to be flooded with everything. I don't know.
What do you have to say, Clements? You've been kind of silent. I mean, do you have anything?
Steve G says, P.S. I do agree with Clements that I don't get the point of buying used games from GameStop to save our books. Steve G?
I don't know. I honestly don't know if I can contribute much more than what you guys have already said. I kind of reflect your sentiments.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just a multifaceted and complicated problem. You know, yeah. I mean, obviously, I understand the consumer. We've all bought used games, you know, like Beyond the Beyond is a good, which is a garbage PlayStation 1 RPG. I remember buying that used very clearly. And obviously, the games I've sold, the SNES games I sold to buy my PlayStation when Final Fantasy VII came out, was obviously someone else bought those games, and I used that money to buy the PlayStation. And those are choices people make. But just, I guess, understanding the consequences of it more, you know, it should just give you pause. All I'm saying is, you know, do whatever you want. I really don't care. You know, like, it's your money. It's your money. I really don't give two shits what you do. All I'm saying
or
is...
two fucks.
I don't give two and a half fucks what you do. All I'm saying is that, you know, think about the consequences of you saving that $5 or $10 and what that could possibly mean to the developer or publisher. Think about the fact that who, you know, the middleman is making all the money in used game sales and not the people that make the games. Games take 2, 3, 4 years to make. They cost $50, $70, $100 million to make. This isn't an altruistic exercise for these companies. They're businesses and they want to make money. So their quest and their goal is to make a profit. If they're not going to make profit, they will not make more games. That's just the way it goes. Who the hell is going to make a game and not make a profit on it? Just like who the hell is going to make a cheeseburger at some diner and not make a profit on it? Just be like, I'm just going to keep making cheeseburgers because the people want cheap cheeseburgers. That's not the way it works. People
want to trade in this half-eaten cheeseburger. Yeah. I'll buy the half-eaten cheeseburger, but I want you to give me the other half new.
You know, and I like, you know, Greg brings up the caveat, which I think is important, that, you know, all right, there's this argument against used games in a vacuum, and that's kind of one argument. And then there's this argument against the online pass, which is another argument. The argument against online pass is inane, and I don't even like having it because it's so stupid. Like, there is no argument against the online pass. You're buying a game used, the middleman gets all the money, and then you want to play online and say, you know, you guys cover the server costs, you guys keep your servers open, all that stuff, just you do that, and I'm just going to buy the game because I'm an entitled consumer. I'm a self-entitled gamer, which is they're all over the place. They're running around all over the place. Just read the internet, you know? So the used game sales in a vacuum thing is fine or whatever if it's a single player game, and that's, but like arguing that like you shouldn't have an online pass because someone already paid for the game is insane because you didn't pay for the game.
Yeah.
So if you didn't pay for the game, then why should you get online for free? You know, I don't understand. That's just insane.
I would like to think I have many flaws, Greg Miller. Colin Moriarty.
You're telling me.
I do. I really do. I just like any other human, I have flaws. Mm. But I would like to think that I'm actually one of the least entitled gamers that I know, because a lot of times when things happen that other people get upset about, I just kind of go, okay, and I just kind of go with it, and I think that's a healthy way to do it. Yeah. You just lie down and just let them walk all over you. That's what you got to do.
No, well, I mean, a lot of people wrote in saying that, you know, not a lot of people, but a few people wrote in saying that, you know, we were being dicks about this and we were alienating people. We're just giving you our opinion on the matter here. And like, my opinion is that online passes are completely justified. And like, if you're buying the game used, I don't understand why I don't think you should be bent out of shape about not being locked out of it and then giving $10 to Sony to show that you're supporting. It helps them get accurate numbers on how many people are doing it. Used games, I've never, like, I'm sure this is usually when I say something I've never said, and then somebody sends me a clip from GameScoop where I said something. But, like, I'm not against you buying used games. Like, I wouldn't personally do it. It's not what I want to do. I'm in a place where I can buy new games. And don't get me wrong, when I was a kid, I mean, I traded stuff in all the time to make sure I could buy, but I always bought new. But I was still supporting the system.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make, was that when I sold all those SNES games, yeah, obviously that supports the system. Yeah. And, you know, people can say, you know, we're hypocrites and stuff like that. Okay, like, I guess I just wasn't quite as aware as I am now about the repercussions of the situation.
And that's all we're telling you. We're just giving, we're just letting you learn from our life experience and tell you what. I mean, we're not being a dick. Like, you would never come up to me at a convention and say, I'll buy used games, you know, and I'll be like, oh, get the fuck away from me, Mom. I don't care. Like, you know what I mean?
That's the point.
It's like, all it is trying to think about the ecosystem of games in the game industry, especially as we watch THQ implode in front of us and everything else, and just think a little bit about your actions. Like, if you. Like, love Batman Arkham City, fucking buy Batman Arkham City so that Rocksteady is supported and people know how big that game is and they get the respect they deserve and they get the funds to go make another awesome game, whatever it is.
No, please.
I was just going to say, I think that really the only situation where I truly appreciate the used game market is in Colin's case that he brought up, where game goes out of print. It's extremely rare. You just can't buy it new.
Yeah.
And it would be cool if we could have some sort of system where, like, you know, there's a law that states that, like, a game can't be resold and recirculated until, like, a certain period of time. I mean, it would be pretty cool because then you would get all the benefits.
That's what you want in government and everything, right, Colin?
No, I mean, I'm not. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make is that, like,
I'm just poking Colin again.
I'm a small government, like, super pro capitalism guy. Like, I said, you want to spend your money however you want. It's your money. You do what you want. All, like, buy used games, buy nothing but used games, make sure none of the developers and publishers ever see your money. Stick it to them, guy. You know, go ahead, have at them.
I like how the beginning of that started offset, like genuine, and then it slowly got more sarcastic.
Go
get him, guy.
Stick it to him.
Good job.
But all I'm saying is, you know, there are two realities to the situation right now. There are two realities. The first reality is that if you don't buy games. And a publisher, you know, like I was talking about altruism, if you don't buy and the publisher and developer don't make any money, they're not going to make any more games. That's A. If that's not relevant to you, cool. Whatever. That's fine. I mean, because some developers and some publishers probably shouldn't exist because they make garbage. But there are plenty of developers and publishers that are not reaping the awards of their rewards of their great games because of used game sales. Right. Fact. The second and more pressing issue is that this isn't a relevant conversation because in 10 years we won't be talking about it anymore because there will be no more used games.
Now you're stealing David Jaffe lines from his Up at Noon interview today.
No. Well, we talked. You know, by the way, it will go up next week. Colin Campbell and I are also doing a video about this. Nice. We talked about this. And I talked about it last week when I talked about PC gamers already living the lifestyle of the future, which is an all digital future, and that used games will not be an option. So people can whine about it all they want. People can you know, stick it to the man and do whatever they want, spend their money how they want. But on PlayStation 5 or whatever it is, there will be no used games and there'll be no discs, and you will buy a game off of it network just like you buy it on PSN right now. And by the way, like I said last week, I just don't like the mentality of people kind of throwing it in people's faces that they're not paying for games, because that's kind of the mentality I get with a lot of people that buy used games. I would never buy this game. This game that cost $100 million and took 3 years and is pretty good, it's not worth $60, worth $20. I'll just buy it used or whatever. Okay, that's cool. But like, those guys still put their blood, sweat, and tears into the game. It's still a really good game, whatever game is in question, whatever. Maybe not a good game sometimes, but oftentimes is a good game. And like, who are you sticking it to? The guys that tried to give you a fun experience, so you're just going to kind of beat around the bush and basically it's basically akin to pirating the game in terms of the fact that not that they're stealing the game, but that it's the same difference to the developer and publisher. And you know, I would say it's just the reality of the situation is it's not going to be the reality anymore. So people can hold on to this old way of thinking, which is totally fine, and that's their prerogative. But digital games are the future. And when you see people on PSN message boards, you know, before the game sharing thing was kind of squashed, saying, oh, I haven't bought a game. I just log in with this guy's name and we download all these games ourselves. And then we each take turns and I just download the game on my system and there's five of us doing it. It's like, oh, cool, dude. So like Housemarque and she and all these great developers don't get any of your money. That's cool. That's something to be proud of.
There are people abusing the system.
Yes.
That's a fact. However, we're not saying you are all abusing the system. So don't write in saying we're jerks.
No, and if you want to abuse the system, that's your prerogative. I'm just giving you my opinion.
That's my prerogative. Let's move on.
This is an opinion-filled show.
Yeah.
This is a conversational podcast. Let's move on to some reader mail.
God, I can't read sweaty
mail call. Really?
Take off the shirt. It smells so bad.
Do you?
Did you bring more deodorant?
No.
I have deodorant at my desk you can use.
Do you smell right now?
Yeah, a little bit. It's because I've been sweating. It's because the bus ride in this morning was stressful because I got you know, like I said, I got lost and everything, and
dropped
I started 14 sweating.
14 blocks
and
away from the
moment of a day where I start to sweat, I can't stop.
Downhill.
It's downhill. It's a downhill battle.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah.
Hansen from the UK writes in, does Twisted Metal have any single-player content? Never played one before, and it sounds like it's all about the multiplayer.
Mm. It is. It was definitely, I think it was originally planned as a multiplayer only, and it's definitely been the focus. But probably because of feedback from a lot of folks, maybe like yourself, you can expect single-player content in Twisted Metal.
Yeah, they have story missions.
Yes.
There's stories for each of them. Yeah. Sweet Tooth, Dollface,
Mr. Grimm.
Mr. Grimm.
And the Preacher.
Does Preacher have his own story?
I can't remember anymore.
Oh,
sorry, I thought I was under the impression that he does.
I know Preacher's in the game. He has cutscenes.
I'm pretty sure he has a story. All right,
whatever. Either way. Yeah. But yeah, got live action cutscenes. David Jaffe talks about it on Start, so watch that. All right. Up at noon.
Ah. Up at noon, Monday.
Quick fire questions from our good friend Chris. Chris says, Ryan.
Yo.
Everyone talks about riding in your car. What kind of car do you drive? Do you call it the Ryan Mobile? I think you should call it the Rip and Ride and Ryan Express and wear a bandana.
I love that.
It's a great idea.
It would be a bandana. I have a bandana now. I drive a Chevy Aveo, and it's a nice. And it was And the Chevy Aveo is. I really enjoy that car, and I really like compact cars, especially living in a city, because it's just easier to park, easier to maneuver. So,
all right, Colin.
Yes.
I know the Jets season wasn't great, but now it's the Giants and the Pats. He has this has to be hard to watch. Who do you hate more?
I hate the Patriots more, but I'm not gonna watch it. So.
Okay. He says, I'm personally hoping the Mayans were off a little and the world ends right after the National Anthem Sunday. Unless, of course, Steven Tyler is doing it again.
Wouldn't that be fantastic? I can't watch that shit. We saw that 4 years ago. It was painful. I don't want to see it again. I don't want either of those teams to win anything.
Greg, I know you're a huge DC Comics fan, but what is currently your favorite Marvel Comics book? I don't read any Marvel Comics books. I download that. When they got the new Spider-Man in the Ultimate or whatever, I started reading that, but I stopped buying them. Chris says, I love DC too, but Uncanny X-Force may be the best ongoing book available right now. Venom and Daredevil are also really good. Well, thanks, Chris, but you can take your fucking Marvel shit and get it out of my podcast.
All right. Well, you read it.
I know. I'm just giving him a hard time. Omi writes in. He says, Beyond.
Beyond.
Now that the PlayStation Vita has finally begun its advertising push through a promotion with Taco Bell, do you believe that it will start to pick up some steam?
Is it too late?
A lot of people have been tweeting us saying, oh my God, I saw my first PlayStation ad. It's in Taco Bell. Yeah, that's a crazy ass sweepstakes promotion. I don't count that. I'm looking for the real commercial. And I was watching a basketball game last night, and they had it on a little roller, the roller at the sideline. So that's there. But I still haven't seen a commercial. Not about tacos.
Like a little all crying baby.
Exactly.
Like,
there'll be a Super Bowl ad. I'm still predicting it.
All right. You going to put a pizza on it?
Nope.
Okay.
Bow, 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 bow.
Omi also writes in, on another note, any updates on trading Clements to the PC team? The update is that we had a company-wide meeting, or I guess an editorial-wide meeting last week, and Anthony Gaius was really good in it. So his stock went up.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to balance out the number of pizzas we need to include with the Clements deal.
Mm-hmm. Future considerations.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here. Oh, here we go. Colin, this one's to you.
Oh, okay.
This guy made up a name just so I could try to hurt it. But it's Avgrozyur. And he says, Dear Colin, I would just like to say that I disagree with your opinion that Resistance 3 ending was terrible. That particular ending was better than what most games have given us simply because it managed to provide a solid conclusion without closing the doors completely on the franchise. Insomniac was just following traditional storytelling 101 basics. Colin's disagreement with the Resistance 3 ending fully exposes his selfishness with the franchise, and it is pretty clear that he wanted Insomniac to keep milking the franchise by shoveling out Resistance every 2 to 3 years until it completely loses its relevance and just turns into utter shit.
Jeez.
Yeah, I got harsh. I didn't know where that one was going. Sorry.
God forbid that they keep making the best shooter franchise ever.
That would have been a fucking complete franchise ever.
The best shooter franchise ever. That would have been a complete disaster if they kept making the best shooter franchise ever. I definitely wouldn't have wanted that.
I don't know if it's the best shooter franchise.
We don't want
ever.
That.
All
right. I love it. It's so funny.
Our good friend Tiny_Tim31 writes in, I've never played a Lumines game. I do own a PSP and a PS3, but I have pre-ordered the Vita. Should I play the older Lumines games first, or just wait for Electronic Symphony?
I say wait.
Yeah. There's no story.
How you follow the story? Oh, you ruined it for me.
Sorry. Yeah. But, I mean, every Lumines is great, so if you can't wait, buy the PS3 version. Hone your skills.
Like a ninja.
I can't wait for that game, by the way. Heads up.
Yeah.
Let's do some Enzo DeGregorio quickfire questions. Colin, I heard on last week's GameScoop that you've been coasting to playing Final Fantasy XIII-2. What prompted this change of heart?
Who said that?
I have no idea.
Clements,
I guess. It was me. GameScoop. Last week's GameScoop was me, Anthony, and Damon.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who the hell said that.
I don't know.
No,
you had a positive experience, it seemed, on the live stream.
No, it was it's good. I do intend on playing it, but the backlog is quite extensive right now, so I don't know when I'm going to get to it.
And I still personally think there are probably games you would enjoy more that
for sure.
You probably don't really need to play it. But
for Ryan, sure.
Yes.
Which are you most anticipating? Reckoning or Wreck, as we call it?
Right, Wreck.
Or Mass Effect 3?
Probably Reckoning, just because it's closer.
Yeah. Okay. Greg, does the fourth consecutive year of financial launch for loss for Sony make you concerned about the state of the PlayStation platform? No. That's the answer. I don't care. Okay. Lose all your money.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
What if they never made any more PlayStation games?
That sucks, I guess. I
guess it's a good thing by then I'll be on the PC team.
Yeah, you're trading up. It's like being traded off a team that just won a championship and now they're losing.
Nehemiah writes in, can I use my PlayStation Network gift card on my Vita if I already redeemed it on my PS3? I plan on using the same gamer profile. Thanks. Yeah, you can, Nehemiah. Your wallet will transfer over. You're sharing one wallet with one name, so it'll all be there for you to use.
One wallet, one name.
Ryan, we're down to the final two questions. One's from you, one's for you. Colin, you can go home.
Okay.
Okay.
Ryan.
Bye, Cal.
See you.
Our good friend Clifton writes in.
Yes.
He says, Clifton. Dear Beyond Crew, my name is Clifton Green, and my question is for Ryan.
Yes.
I was wondering if you watched the U.S. debut of Girls Generation on The Late Show. They performed the song The Boys. What was really interesting was that all of them, plus their band, were able to fit on the stage. Do you think with this performance that they are one step closer to being well-known in the U.S.?
I love these Girls' Generation questions. Colin loves them, too. Look at him. Look at how excited
Colin
looks.
We told him he can go home, so he just laid his head on the desk.
Greg, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was very cool to see them on a U.S. Television program. I think it's a great step for them. I think they would be a long way to becoming a nationally recognizable pop act.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great step in the right direction. I think it is very impressive. They all fit on that tiny ass stage. And if anything, you didn't see this video probably, but it was really adorable because one of the girls, the stage was so small that before they started the song, the camera was still on Letterman, Bill Murray and Regis because they were all there.
Yeah.
But she was like in the shot behind them on the stage. So she was like in her ready pose and like she could see herself on the camera and she started laughing and it was adorable.
Gotcha.
And I just felt bad for her.
It was funny when this happened because you threw a big watch party at your house and you were like totally watching it live as it happened, really having a great time.
Yeah. Actually, I was just at the gym.
Yeah. That shows your dedication to it so that when they get the Nielsen ratings in, they're like, nobody watched this.
Well, I don't
You basically you bootlegged it and watched it used.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
I don't have a television.
Really?
I don't have any sort of cable or TV at my house.
Oh, that I was unaware of. So I take back my hate.
You have a TV, though.
I have a TV that is.
Thank you for coming back digital. To us, Colin.
Yes. Colin's back to life.
It's like if you've watched Half-Baked, he's that sleeping guy on the couch. Just pops up 1 second. Final questions for me. Beyond Dear Greg, my name's Trolls. I don't know if that's a joke. I'm a PC gamer. Why do you hate me? Sincerely, Trolls. Trolls, it's not that I hate you. I'm just trying to save you from a lifetime of driver installs and virus software and updating your graphics card that'll cost you $400.
The every updates six cost $400?
Your graphics card. Buying a new graphics
you
card.
You don't buy one every 6 months.
Well, it's funny. That's not what they told me when I went to PC school.
What degree did you get in PC school, Greg?
Keyboard. I don't hate you.
That was the best you could do.
I got a master's in keyboard.
Keyboard.
A minor in floppy disk. Trolls, I don't hate you. I don't hate PC gaming at all. I just like to talk a lot of shit on it.
Yeah, he likes to totally make fun of me.
It's too much work for me. It's too much input for me to do. Yeah. So anyways, that's been Podcast Beyond. We are all extremely tired. It's Thursday night in San Francisco.
And now I have to be a baller entertainer for four
baller
hours.
Baller entertainer with bad smelling armpits. We're going to give you some deodorant out of here.
I don't think they're bad so much as just you can smell sweat on me now.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if that qualifies or quantifies. No, qualifies as bad.
Sure.
But it's probably bad.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be part of the show, email us at beyond@ign.com. If you want to be part of more of our lives, come to ign.com. That's what pays the bills. You go there, you read our articles, you see what we think about other stuff other than just use games. We won't beat the horse to death anymore. Follow us, too. Follow IGN at IGN. And it's all on Twitter, by the way, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
There's this thing called Twitter. It's kind of popular. Yeah, Facebook's dead. IGN for IGN. Game over Greggy for me, Greg Miller. Ryan Clements, Palm Cider. Colin Moriarty, no taxation. Also, we launched a new channel called Start on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/start. Watch Up at Noon with Greg Miller, The Next Game Boss with Naomi and Damon, Cheap Crazy Cool with Naomi, Mixed Reviews with, I don't even know who's hosting that. But just go see these shows. They're fun. David Jaffe, like I said, on Mondays, Up at Noon with Greg Miller. Awesome interview. Really fun time. Some good jokes. Ryan, take me home.
Sounds good, brother. I got an email from Christian, who writes, Beyond. Okay, I'll make this simple. I love listening to you guys. It always cheers me up on a sad day or makes me laugh regardless of the mood. I've been listening to Podcast Beyond and Game Scoop for almost 2 years now. The reason I write to you is because of a promise I made to myself a while back now. I swore that I would be one of those. Sorry, I'm just laughing at Greg because he's doing something crazy over there.
I'm gonna get. I started to give Colin like the Hitman barcode on his neck, or Dark Angel.
I swore that I would be one of these great artists who performs at the end of Beyond. So I have to ask, could you please play my song Samurai at the end of the show? I would be so honored and happy, and brag about it to my friends, of course. The song is on both English, American, and Swedish, since I could not decide which language to use. I hope that's okay.
That's awesome.
You can find my music on. So Christian's last name is Backholm. So B-A-C-K-H-O-L-M. So you can find his music soundcloud.com/backholmchristian. So it's his name in reverse. Anyways, keep up the super awesome podcast Beyond. This is from Christian Backholm, the song Samurai, which I really dug because I love rapping in Swedish. It sounds super cool. And I think that's about it. Email me MP3s of the music you want to play at the end of Beyond to beyond@ign.com.
Beyond.
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 Oh, you look at me, samma sak och varenda dag blir det likadant. Och ni grabbar tar det lugnt, det går fort som fan. Och ni grabbar tar det lugnt, sakta ner lite grann. Boom!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.